As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yeah, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove. And there's a revolution in the air, even in Wall Street. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Tuesday, September the 27th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live as we do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news. Well, news. Hard facts, certainly. Workable solutions? Yeah, maybe. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, well, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular of all things and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. Be calling at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls will be welcome. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email. So many emails this past week. Wow. Thank you so much for that. BVLhost@CenturyTel.net. BVLhost@CenturyTel.net for the email, Addie. And for those without internet access, listening to any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, that postal zip zone. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com. All carrying the broadcast this morning. We thank you for doing so. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. Precious metals begin anew from lower levels. Bargain hunters, take note. We'll talk about that as we review the metals for this morning. Bonds, buns, cocoa, Greece, electric, property taxes, EU, United Nations, all in the news today. Central banking, banking history, property rights, rights to property. Yeah, we'll go there too. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning. Active trading, New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading up $28.30 an ounce at $1,656.30 an ounce. Silver up $1.89 at $32.64. Now on the bright side of $30 again. Platinum up $14 at $1,571 a troy ounce. Palladium up $20 at $648. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, again, widespread, $1,629.70 for a low, $1,678.10 for a high. But at $1,656.30, your gold is still up $360.30 year-to-year for a 27.83% return on your investment in Arum, that precious golden noble metal. The SPDR gold shares overnight paired off 5.45 metric tons, so they're net sellers, I guess, this morning, while others are buying. Got to get both sides of a transaction. There's always a buyer and a seller. If there's no buyers, there's no sellers. That's the way it goes. And vice versa. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 272 at 11,044. The NASDAQ closed up 33 at 2517. And the S&P 500 closed up 27 at 1,163. It's just in time for the heating season. Crude oil this morning moves up $2.51. At $82.75 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude oil delivered as they are in the West Texas Intermediate at the crude oil hub in Cushing, Oklahoma. We'll get it all out. Spit it out, Willie. Let's go to break. We'll come back. Fire that chainsaw up, my friend.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, September the 27th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live, as we do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, Monday through Friday, oraclebroadcasting.com. Back into our market report for this morning, in review for the benefit of all those that are away at the top of the hour news and weather break. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time again. Found gold trading up $20.30 at $1,656.30. Off $267 from the high at $1,923.70. Futures all-time record high on the 6th of September. But nevertheless, crawling out of the basement up $28.30 this morning. Silver up $1.89 at $32.64. Yeah, well, try and get some silver at these prices. I wasn't able to yesterday. Anyway, everybody wanted to have a lot more than that. Anyway, platinum up $14 at $1,571. Palladium up $20 at $648. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market again widespread. $1,629.70 for a low, $1,678.10 for a high, but your gold is up $360.30 year to year for a 27.83% return on your investment. Again, the Dow closed up 272 yesterday. They got the air hose out and plugged in the compressor and stuck it in the side of the market and pumped it back up again. I don't know. Lots of money being spent here to try and make things look good. Putting that happy face on the pig one more time. Up 272 at 11,044. NASDAQ closed up 33 at 2517. The S&P 500 up 27 at 1,163. Crude oil up $2.51 and $82.75 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index this morning off 22 basis points, losing some of that luster that it had yesterday at 77.75. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates, where this morning we find the Canadian loonie bumping up 43 basis points, having to round up and round up hard to get to it, but 98 cents U.S., so it's 2 cents below parity right now, with the U.S. dollar losing a lot of ground recently. The Mexican peso, likewise, having to round up hard to get to 8 cents. It's up 149 basis points, but we're having to really apply the mathematics to get there. The euro this morning up 27 basis points at $1.36. The British pound up 36 basis points at $1.56. And the Swiss franc up 10 basis points at $1.11. The bond market, you know, we keep hearing all about the bonds. Bonds reported on that yesterday. These things are supposed to be really knocking in the profits for those that are invested in bonds, the U.S. Treasuries, bonded indebtedness. I don't see how it works that way. Spent some time last night on the Internet trying to find out some answers. Didn't find them. But anyway, this morning the yield on the two-year Treasuries is 0.24%. The 10-year yield is at 1.98%. That's supposed to be a hallelujah moment. I don't see it that way. The 30-year at 3.08%. The 15-year fixed-rate mortgages this morning moved down from 3.45% a month ago to 3.33% this morning, trying to entice more people into the mortgage market. The 30-year likewise moves down from 4.28% to 4.05%. Your prime rate stands at 3.25%. You're going to the bank to borrow money, they'll be starting there, plus origination fees and points and other things. Your gold-to-silver ratio, drastic, desperate, 50.74 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. The AM Kitco Metals Roundup, Jim Wyckoff has this to say, just tracking this devastation. COMEX December gold and silver futures prices are sharply higher Tuesday morning as traders have stepped up in strong fashion to buy the dip. That's right. You buy when it's low, you sell when it's high. Except in America. People do it the other way, and I don't know why. But anyway, they do, and do some bargain hunting. So if you want to do a little bargain hunting, you're going to have to hunt. You're going to have to hunt. Get on the telephone. Make a lot of phone calls. You might find somebody that'll sell you some products somewhere close to these spot prices, but I was unable to. Everybody had premiums and markups and delays and all kinds of reasons why they couldn't deliver. Why should they? They're suffering just as bad as anybody else. Maybe they've got some inventory out there that they bought at $1,800. They don't want to part with their gold at $1,656, and neither would I. They want to sell their silver at $32.64 an ounce, and why should they? So anyway, you might be able to do some bargain buying, but you're going to have big hands and deep pockets to make it work. A weaker U.S. dollar index, excuse me, and solid gains in crude oil prices are also supporting buyer interest in the precious metals. If gold and silver markets can hold their sharp gains into the close Tuesday, then technical odds would markedly increase that the near-term market lows are in place. So the best thing that could be said is that we might have a new low here, and then we could look for new highs in the future. The world's stock markets are higher Tuesday, as risk appetite has at least temporarily significantly increased. Isn't it amazing what 24 hours can do? Wow. Glad I'm not a speculator. Excuse me. Continuing, what the better investor risk appetite Tuesday has done for precious metals is to provide traders with the courage to step in and buy the dip and do some bargain hunting. Of course, they got the margin requirements jacked up now. Again, that CME group, they just seem to do that. It's like the licking stick. They take it out every time they want to change the rules, and they do. Also, much of the margin call-related selling pressure in gold and silver has now likely already occurred. So if J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and everybody else was up against the wire with shorts, well, they've covered those maybe, and now they're going long again. Hard to say. crude oil futures prices are trading sharply higher early on Tuesday on some short covering and amid the improved tone of the EU debt situation. Well, there's not really a better tone over there, and we'll go over and take a look at it. But before we do, let's jump over here and look at this. Whoops, I didn't even open that guy up. Let's open that guy up so that we've got what we need to have right there. Economic calendar on Econo Day for today, Tuesday. Lots of stuff happening. Let's pop some open here. Let's get that guy. We'll get this guy. Open him up. Let's get that one opened as well. Open this one as well. And get this guy opened up as well. There we go. And let's just jump right into it. See how fast this computer runs? Mine. Anyway, the ICSC Goldman store sales. Retail sales slowed for a second week. See, we could have read this one last week. It was the same report the week before that. I don't know how much more the retail sales can slow before we just have to admit that retail sales are flat. But that's where they are, basically. Anyway, retail sales slowed for a second week, according to the ICSC Goldman, which cites renewed and intensified consumer concern over the economy. ICSC Goldman's tally slipped 0.2% in the September 24th week, following the prior week's 1.2% decline. The year-on-year rate is down 0.7 to a plus 2.7%, though the four-week average is down only 0.1 to plus 3%. Anyway, the report is sticking with its call for an in-trend ex-gas year-on-year gain of plus 3 to 4% for September as a whole. Easy for them to say, hard for me to say. Anyway, that's the way they write it in Econoland.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So back into that Econor Day calendar a little bit further here for this morning. We've heard the ICSC's Goldman store sales. Here's the Red Book way of looking at it. Red Book reports slightly below trend retail sales growth in the September the 24th week, with discounters boosted by demand for basic household supplies. Mr. Clean is doing well this week, probably. Anyway, holding steady in contrast to department store sales, where trends continue to decline. So the things that you need go up in price and more people go out and buy them, and the things that you only want go down and down and down. That's the way it goes. The S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, everybody's been waiting for this one. The home price trends are holding steady based on the S&P Case-Shiller data. That for July's adjusted composite 20 index shows a third straight unchanged reading. I guess we've gone to flat line here. You can put the paddles away, take the gurney out, put them in the freezer. Half of the 20 cities track show declines, with 8 gaining and 2 unchanged. Of course, the 20 cities that showed decline are all the big ones, the 8 gainers and the 2 unchanged. Well, they're not too impressive. Weakness is concentrated in the West, including a third straight decline for Phoenix, San Diego, and L.A. Heck of a marketplace. That's a lot of houses. And a 6th straight decline for Vegas. Gainers are led by Detroit. Amazing, huh? Chicago and Washington, the district of creeps and criminals. Of course, with all of the jobs they have in Washington, D.C., you wouldn't expect them to be having any problems. Summer is a seasonally strong period for housing demand, as seen in the unadjusted data that show a 0.9% rise for the composite 20 index versus June's 1.2% gain. But the unadjusted year-on-year rate at a minus 4.1% underscores the housing sector's weakness. Well, you could go on and try and build a bigger article, and many people did, but I'll just let it go right there. Consumer confidence. You know, feeling confident this morning, America? Consumers say current economic conditions are deteriorating. And what is a bad sign? For the September employment report, 50% of the conference board's samples say jobs are currently hard to get, which is up a tangible 1.5% from August and compares with 44.8% in July, 43.2% in June. This trend may be signaling that the jobs market is pivoting lower. The overall consumer confidence index edged fractionally higher to 45.4 from August's revised 45.2. So if you put your faith in numbers, there's a number. Pass it over, my friend. Don't bogart that joint. State Street Investor Confidence Index. The State Street Investor Confidence Index is not out yet, so we'll let it go. Let's just keep right on rolling. U.S. cities face lower collections and higher costs. Now, we're going to see this repeated in various places. We'll find it over in Europe, find it in Greece, find it around America. But U.S. cities are facing lower collections and higher costs. We've got that right here in sunny southwest Missouri as well. William Selway writing this one for Bloomberg. For U.S. cities, the effect of the real estate collapse, thanks to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and Lehman Brothers and all the rest of them, Wachovia, Countrywide, Bank of AmeriCorps, yeah, I hope they do serious time for big crimes. But anyway, for U.S. cities, the effects of the real estate collapse and the recession it helped spark in 2007 are showing few signs of ending. Not going to happen. Just wait until the rest of the properties start flooding onto the market in about 3 months. More than half, or 57% of the municipal officials, office holders, we don't have any officials anymore, said finances were worse in fiscal 2011 than in 2010. It was going down. The National League of Cities said today, citing a survey of municipal officials. Inflation-adjusted revenue is headed for a fifth straight annual drop. Of course, you probably didn't notice any decrease in your property taxes. I haven't seen any decrease in mine, and I ask all the time, and they say, well, we hadn't bumped them up. And that's why we don't have to lower them down. Of course, if I try to sell my house right now, it would probably bring about 20% less than it would have in 2007. Half said the state aid has declined. The good news was that the number of city officials saying their communities are worse off was lower compared with the 87% who said that last year. Were they lying last year or something got better? The number who indicated things had improved rose to 43% from 13%. I'd like to get a list of those towns that thought their situation had improved. Maybe I could go and visit and see if I agreed with their consensus. We're in a situation where they don't see it getting worse, but it's not getting any better, like I said, flat line. Put them on the gurney, put them on the slab, and turn down the temperature. The plight of cities has exerted a big drag on the economy as local officials move to cut spending to cope with diminished tax collections and reduced assistance from states dealing with their own budget deficits. But you never do see them actually cutting the jobs. Well, occasionally here and occasionally there. But overall, just like their counterparts in the state legislatures and like their counterparts in Congress, it's always raise the taxes, raise the rates, raise more money. They don't ever cut their costs. Anyway, we ought to cut the costs, but they don't. Property market slump. The real estate rout that has pushed down home prices in major metropolitan markets. Hey, it's not limited to major metropolitan markets, I can assure you. By almost a third from the July 2006 peak has cut into property taxes. And boy, they hate that. They hate that. While ebbing consumer confidence, but who gets really hurt here? Property taxes, property levies. Well, it's the schools more than anybody else. That's right. So as the price of gasoline, crude oil, goes up and up and up as the heating system comes on, we've also got all the school buildings all across America. You know, they got the buses running, the teachers running, as I said before, the Sally Sockerman running back and forth in their suck UVs. Burning up all that gasoline, diesel, going to the ball games. America does have a love affair with its balls, but nevertheless, that's what's happening. Just in time for the winter heating season, the price of crude oil is heading up. Property market slump, the real estate rout again that pushed down home prices in major metropolitan markets by almost a third from the July 2000 peak has cut into property taxes, while ebbing consumer confidence has curbed retail sales tax collections by municipalities. And that's that sales tax collection that's really starting to hurt them. And so we have here in southwest Missouri and Berry County two different issues on the ballot coming up to increase the sales taxes. One of them to finance the enhanced 911 system so that we could probably build a new fusion center or wall in whole new rooms in our bunker. Or the other tax is going to come in and it's going to provide more money for the cops and more money for the prosecuting attorneys so we can stay on top of that crime wave, right? Sure. Anyway, that's what's coming. They're also shouldering rising medical care expenses for their workers. Of course, we can't afford medical care, but the workers do, and face widening unfunded pension liabilities. Well, maybe they need to review those pension policies once more. Get out a sharper pencil. Cut some of the cream out of those things. After tumbling, markets led to losses in 2009. Worked for years, never did get a pension for anything. Anyway, that's the difference between working union and working for yourself. Local governments have only recently begun to feel the full brunt of the housing market's drop. Boy, talk about slow on the uptake. Because values used for taxes typically lag behind markets by 18 months or more. That's right. You try and get your assessor's office to cut down your assessed value, it's like pulling teeth out of a hand.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And if you'd like to weigh in on any of this news, you're certainly welcome to do so. The call-in number is 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. Let's go out to the East Coast, visit with the Skull and Bones land. I could say it, the land of Massachusetts, and speak to Jeff in Chelsea. Good morning, Jeff.
Will, how you doing? I'm on break at work today, and Will, I have some insights with the economy. You know, bring it home to the average family. Imagine being a dad of four, and all of a sudden you get laid off from work. All of a sudden you come home and you say, honey, kids, here's how it's going to come down. We're only going to eat one meal a day, and we can't have cable anymore. We have to cancel that. We have to slash where we can slash. Internet, we'll have to cancel that too, and so forth. And we'll have to go out to the pantry for food. And so forth, and what else too is we have to bike it to work, walk to work, bike it, whatever, like sure. 5 miles because we can't afford bus fare, and also too there'll be a watch at night because of break-ins, because all of a sudden our nice middle class neighborhood turned to a ghetto, and then what else? When you buy food at the supermarket, the truck will get hijacked. We'll travel through a bad neighborhood on its way to the supermarket because people are starving. What else? That's already happening. It's called Zimbabwe.
It's called Southwest Missouri.
Wow.
You did. What, the one thing you missed, though, is that nobody's creeping over your fence stealing your laying hens, and nobody's been taking the cattle and rustling them out of your pasture.
Good point, Will. Well, you know, I was watching a documentary on Zimbabwe, and you know, there's no food in the supermarket, and anybody who opposes Robert Mugabe gets beat up really bad. And I'm saying to myself, this is the Obama administration. I mean, you know, anybody who opposes Obama, next thing you know, are going to get a real beating and so forth. And the people voted for him because we all know why, because of money.
Well, you Reagan. Know. Every single one of the children that go to school these days, they all have that free breakfast program. Almost all of them get the free lunch program, you know, so that's cool. They don't have to worry about not having internet at home anymore because they have internet at school and they're in school for 12 hours a day. You know, they don't have to worry about whether or not they've got heat or cooling because the children come up at sunrise and they don't come home until dark, you know, that sort of stuff.
That's funny.
But, you know, we're moving into that time period, and really, the only ones that are going to suffer, they're mom and dad, because they're sitting there, they're hungry, they're broke, they're bored to death, they're on the couch, and they're thinking about selling the couch to raise some money to make the mortgage. Things are getting really ugly, you know. So, well, why might as well just go ahead and move in with your neighbors, then one of you can flip a coin and see whose house will get foreclosed first, you know. So, anyway,
things are going really
good in America.
Well, oh, yes, and well, before I go, also, too, you know, the best place to live in is low to moderate income housing. The best place to be is Peggy the Moocher. Peggy the Moocher says, if I help him, he's going to help me, and so forth. This is all Saul Alinsky, class warfare, race warfare. We all know where this car's going. Those who have their ears on the rail, it's going to be race war. We don't want it to happen. There's heroes out there like Jesse Lee Peterson, you know, Alan Keyes, good people of color who are good conservative people, but they'll never get in because they're regarded as sellouts. And Uncle Tom's and House, I'm not going to say it. And that's what this car takes. It doesn't matter what color you are. If you're conservative, you're the bad guy. You're liberal, communist, you're the good guy. We've been perverted. Will, I thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jeff. Enjoy your break. Enjoy your day at work up there in Chelsea, Massachusetts. And let's take the wild card line and go here and say good morning to our caller.
Yes, good morning. Am I on air now?
You surely are. Go ahead. Very good connection you have. Okay. Absolutely crystal clear.
Okay, good. I tried to call in yesterday, but...
And I apologize for that, but now give me your first name. I'll change this call screen here so that I know who you are. But what's your first name? What state are you calling from?
My first name is Russell.
Russell from...
Minnesota.
Okay, go ahead, Russell. What do you have on your mind today?
Well, I might have sort of misunderstood, but yesterday you were talking about, I think you were talking like about 30-year bonds and how someone was able to profit
the way the story went down, Russell, was that they were talking about how great it was, how swell it was, that, you know, Benjamin Shalom Bernanke's program is working fantastically. People are able to go in and get into these 2 years, the 10 years, and the 30-year bonds, and they're able to make up to 28% return on their investment. And I'm wondering, how can you possibly do that when the 2-year yield is at 0.24%, the 10-year is at 1.98%, and the 30 this morning is 3.08%. Do you know how that does? How does that work? How do you multiply yourself up to that kind of a return on your investment in the bonds?
The way that you can earn 28% on a bond like that is that let's say you bought the bond a year ago, right?
Okay.
And let's say a year ago it was yielding 3.6%.
Okay.
And now today, let's say it's yielding 2.6%.
All right, so it's gone down. The yield has gone down, but the premium has gone up.
Right. In other words, if I can sell that bond today for 28% more than I paid for it because, you know, in other words, if you were to buy a bond like that today, you'd only get 2.6%. But on my bond that I can sell you, you can get 3.6% on it. So you're going to have to pay me 28% more than what I paid for it.
Okay, I'm with you. So the more that the yield on the bonds drop month to month and year to year, the more valuable those bonds become because you can actually trade a bond that you're already holding. So the bond is acting as an asset. It's a commodity that you can sell. And depending on the spread between or the margin between your purchasing interest yield and the present interest yield is the return on your investment that you would be able to expect from a buyer, right?
Right.
Well, that's very good.
Like the spread between, say, 2.6% and 3.6%, you know, that's probably about 28% right there. So I'm just kind of throwing out those figures. And, you know, so Ben Shalom has been, I guess the article was saying, you know, that's what they call quantitative easing, where he prints money ex nihilo out of thin air and buys these bonds.
Yes.
That causes the interest rates to go down because it's an artificial demand that he's creating for these bonds, and so I don't know.
Well, that does make sense, you know. And so it's to the bond market's advantage. The further down they can crowd this interest rate, the more people would be interested in redeeming their past or previous bonds. Now, so somebody buys that at a higher yield. Now, what you're hoping when you get into that marketplace, you're hoping that you're going to be able to sell to somebody. Who do you go to sell a treasury?
Well, yeah, when you buy a treasury bond, you know, if you're a trader, you know, there are two motivations. One would be just someone that, you know, a retired person buys a 30-year bond with the intention of holding it until they die or whatever.
Yes.
But the other aspect is the bond trader type. Now, what the bond trader is, when he buys the bond, he's not expecting to hold it to maturity. He's buying it with the belief that the interest rate will go lower. He's speculating. I'm going to buy this 30-year bond. I'm predicting that the interest rates on these 30-year bonds will go lower, that will make my bond more valuable. And then when I think the interest rate has sort of bottomed out around 2.6 or whatever, then I'll sell it for a profit.
Okay.
You know, so so there's quite a few what Charles Giuliani would call EJPs.
Yes.
Elite you pigs.
Exactly.
Or the JP on Wall Street who do this. I prefer the term, the alternative term that he uses, which is the JPB, which is the Jew pig bastard. I've always been too happy with the elite term, but that's what they do, and they've got billions of dollars moving in and out of that bond market, you know, on a daily basis.
Well, thanks for helping us out with that one, Russell. Good call, good information. Thanks so very much.
Bye-bye.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
www.teamspeak3.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And there you go, expanding the lexicon of our understanding of the Wall Street institutions and understanding a little bit more about bonds and EJBs and EJPs and all the other interesting things that went along with that. It was very informative. And we learned once again that I guess if you were to go back, I can go back in my charts and look, there's time when you could expect 3.65% yield on the 10-year. Today, they're at 1.98. So if you've been holding those 3.65 bonds, you want to make a little bit of extra do-re-mi, you can find a trader to help facilitate the deal. I guess you could sell your 3.65 bonds and pick up some 1.98 bonds or whatever and pocket the difference. Okay, I understand that. So that's why they talk about safe haven in the bond market. Wow, that's as clear as a bell now. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Let's go on into this a little bit further again. Remember, the financial strains on cities have fostered investor speculation that municipal bond defaults would rise after banking analyst Meredith Whitney's firm in September 2010 forecast that more issuers would renege on their debts. So you got to be careful, you know, that full faith and credit stuff there. These are just bonds. But again, local governments have only recently begun to feel the full brunt of the housing market's drop because the values used for taxes typically lag behind. Well, when they can't get it that way, they get it this way. Got a letter from one of our listeners, and he sent this along in regards to Arizona. Public notice of hearing on Arizona's public service company's application for a permanent base rate increase. Well, I'll spare you all the details and the fine print and the legalese, but it gets down to this, that the net percentage impact of the company's request on customer bills would be an increase of approximately 6.6% on the average. Now, last year, I reported to you, after having gone to the annual meeting of our local electric co-op, that our co-op board members mentioned that you could anticipate the price of electric service to go up. And go up, it is. Now, here in Arizona, the cost is going up 6.6 on your electric bills, all right, to pick up the tab. Now, here, sunny southwest Missouri, Cassville Council accepts a water rate increase proposal. So not only are we going to have two propositions on the ballot to jack up the sales tax to pay for enhanced 911 and increase the amount available for sheriff's deputies, new Crown Victorias, and more money for the prosecutor's office, but they're going in this direction as well. The proposal would raise the base rate. Sounds like the same article. The proposal would raise the base rate for residential water accounts from $10.27 to $11.50. Now, that looks like just about 9%. That's just about what the inflation rate is, isn't it? The base rate for sewer would decrease from $8 to $7. Interesting. Where the high-end users will see the biggest change to their bills will be the rate increase per 1,000 gallons of usage. See, what they really want you to do is get down to about 2 gallons a day. Get down to that level of Zimbabwe. You know, they don't take baths anymore. You know, the EJBs and the EJPs are typically unclean because they don't wash, they don't bathe. That's one of the reasons why they always had to ghetto up. Anyway, keeps the smell in one area. The current water rate per 1,000 gallons is $1.80. Under the proposal, the residential water rate would dramatically increase to $5.25. So they're going to increase the base rate on water, decrease a little bit the base rate on sewer, but they're going to jump up from $1.80 for 1,000 gallons of water to $5.25. The sewer rate would then increase from $2.92 to $7.50. Based on your water consumption per 1,000 gallons. Isn't that clever? So people are going to become homeless, or they'll just have to turn off their water, quit using the washing machine, stop flushing the toilet, and, you know, just become austere in the face of all things. Otherwise, let's go over here and check with a similar one happening over in Greece. There we go. Greek leaders appeal for support as the U.S. presses for EU faster debt action. This one by Maria Petrakis and Tony Kruskuksa. Got a couple of Greek writers for this one. Off of Bloomberg, Greek leaders appeal for support at home and abroad to avert default before key legislative votes as the U.S. criticized European leaders for moving too slowly to stem the debt crisis. Prime Minister George Papandreou traveled to Berlin for 2 days before lawmakers were to ratify an overhaul of the Euro Rescue Fund. Pledging success in a struggle to restore budget balances, Finance Minister Evangelos Venizelos promised, quote-unquote, superhuman efforts. Wow. I step into the phone booth and change my garments. Superhuman efforts. Come out as Spidey or something, I don't know. Before a vote in Athens on an unpopular property tax needed to avoid default. See, unpopular property tax. Jacking up interest rates. Jacking up. I misspoke. Sewer, water, electricity, you name it. Barry the usurper underscored the urgency late yesterday when he said European governments are, quote, trying to take responsible actions, but those actions haven't been as quick as they need to be. Brilliant. That really helps out, Barry. Pretty well had that one figured out ourselves. His Treasury Secretary, little Timmy, the Pilgrim, Geithner, Pilgrim, said Europe has not very much time to act. I guess the timeline's shortening. Concerns that Europe's debt crisis may plunge the global economy into recession. No, wait a minute. I thought it was the credit default swaps. I thought it was the mortgage-backed securities. Oh, well. A dominated weekend talks of policymakers, investors, and bankers in Washington where the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank held their annual meeting. We reported on that. Geithner called on Euro area leaders to beef up their $440 billion or $594 billion bailout fund, warning that failure threatened cascading default, bank runs, and catastrophic risk. Well, that's not very good news. Papandreou's majority goes on, talks about that. Here we go. Real estate levy. Yes, this is the spot. With 150 votes, four votes in the 300-seat chamber, Papandreou needs to rally his PASOK socialist lawmakers, as he did in June, to push through budget cuts and asset sales. 3 months after that vote, which caused Papandreou to have his deputies, a deepening slump forced him to impose additional cuts and the real estate levy affecting owners of 5 million homes and stores. Now, this is a curious levy. The parliamentary votes on the required measures will be closed, said Wolfango Piccolio. Piccoli. Wolfango Piccoli, an analyst in London at the Eurasia Group. Quote, some PASOK deputies could resign ahead of the crucial voting sessions, but the government is expected to secure the parliamentary approval for the necessary laws and the release of the 8 billion euro loan. Oh, lots of words. Trying to get down here. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Papandreou, who will dine with German Chancellor in... Who cares about dining with... Oh, I want to get down to the real neat knitting deal. Here, let's see if I can find it. Let's see. The unions are calling for strikes. They do that all the time, you know, in socialist countries. Workers of the world unite. Let's see. Two most contentious issues. Here it is. I knew I found this morning. The two most contentious issues are a property tax to be levied. Now, listen up, all of you out there that have been following the technocratianism, technocracy, the technocratic age. The two most contentious issues are a property tax to be levied via electricity bills. What's up with that? How do you do a property tax levied via electricity bills? Is that an amount of wattage that you use? The more wattage you use, you're going to have a new property tax imposed. How is this going to work? I want to see the details, which will provide an annual yield of 1.1% of gross domestic product and plans to put 30,000 public servants, quote, into a reserve system on reduced pay. The latter measure may not need renewed parliamentary approval as it was part of measures passed in June. But what is this property tax to be levied via an electricity bill? I wonder if we'll have a new property tax levied via your food bill, a new property tax levied via your internet provider bill. What is that? What kind of a tax is that?
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, September the 27th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. Boy, saved by the bell. I could go through with some more of this news, but it is really pallid today. Let's go over here and just take a little brief highlight and jump up to Wall Street again. Wall Street protests continue on Tuesday. Yeah, it's out there. Occupy Wall Street protest organizers are planning their next move as dozens of police officers take up positions on the outskirts of Zucchini. Oh, no, it's Biscotti. No, Zuccotti Park. Oh, my. The standoff with Wall Street enters its 11th day Tuesday with no end in sight. Over the weekend, 80 people were arrested after demonstrators marched to Union Square. Most were charged with disorderly conduct and resisting EJPs and EJBs. A handful of people were hit with pepper spray. Chelsea Elliott was one of them. She says officers trapped her with netting before she and two other women were blasted with it. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going for it, and there's all kinds of other news out there. Here's a little bit more. The Wall Street protests, designed to highlight the financial firms that control the world's economy, have moved into the 11th straight day Tuesday, reports CNN. The group is in New York's financial district in Lower Manhattan, are calling for 20,000 people to flood the area for a few months. Wow, for a few months, using social media and like the protesters in Egypt and Libya did to rally support. The group calls itself Occupy Wall Street, and spokesman Patrick Bruner tells CNN our main concern is the way the democracy is hijacked through wealth inequality. But just exactly what the plan is for the list of demands is unclear. This is usually the problem. You know, it's got a lot of excitement over the protest, but they haven't got a lot of solution for the protest. However, Dennis Kucinich, this has introduced a piece of legislation. You can find out and read more about it at monetary.org, monetary.org. They have a solution. And it's already a piece of legislation. I think it's in committee already, so you might want to jump up to monetary.org and check that out as well. Well, there's a lot more we could go with the news basket, but it's so pallid, I choose not to give you a little bit yesterday about currency. Talked about currency. Coins. Coins, again, are stamped pieces of metal in form, size, and weight, and the design of the stamp calculated to fit them for use as hand-to-hand money. Hand-to-hand money, currency, coins. Back in the time here, this 1951 encyclopedia, when money was money, women were women, men were men, and automobiles were still pretty cool. Anyway, now they all look just the same. Made out of ticky-tacky, fall apart quick. The form found to be most serviceable is that of a circular form, and the milled edge makes clipping easily observable. The denominations found most convenient. We went through all of that. I want to cover a little bit more here. Dropping down. It's only by thus making some coins subsidiary to others, which are standard, that a currency consists of coins made of different metals can be maintained. Otherwise, since the relative values of the different metals are constantly changing, it will be always found profitable to melt down certain of the coins for sale as bullion or to ship them abroad where they always pass at their bullion value. For example, suppose at the time of a coinage system is established, 300 grains of silver is exactly equivalent in value on the bullion market to 20 grains of gold, and that accordingly, coins containing each 20 grains of gold and legal tender for $1, and others each containing 150 grains of silver and legal tender for $0.50, are freely coined at the mints for individuals bringing metal of the proper standard. Now, there's interesting there. Soon, the relative value of gold and silver on the bullion market changes so that 20 grains of gold are equivalent in value to 400 grains of silver. Then it will be profitable to melt down the gold coins for sale as bullion or to use them in foreign payments at their bullion value. Some of the difficulties of using gold and silver coin in circulation.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Ener food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we can see, even though there's a lot of desirability in going to a metals-based or a bimetal system, and actually having currency made out of the precious metals, that ultimately the debasement and the melting down and the international shipment of gold and silver caused a lot of problems, which is why they went to gold and silver certificates in the first place. I mean, you can clip a gold certificate, but all you do is cut the corner off of your paper piece. Anyway, this condition is prevented by making the silver coin subsidiary. They can only be obtained by the purchase from the government at the rate of $2 silver half dollars for a gold dollar. Wouldn't that be a blessing? $2 silver half dollars for a gold dollar. Since the government at any time will give back a gold dollar for $2 silver half dollars, there will be no reason for anyone's refusing to take $2 silver half dollars for a dollar's worth of goods. The government protects itself from the danger and the expense of an excessive volume of redemptions of silver coins by itself monopolizing their manufacture and by limiting the amount strictly to the need for them as a circulating medium. Certain coins, notably the silver dollar of the United States and the 5-franc piece of the states of the Latin Monetary Union, occupy a somewhat anomalous position, being neither subsidiary in the strict sense of that term nor standard, but midway between the two. So then we find out through our study of accounting and whatnot that more people do business with accounts and on credit necessarily than they do with those silver and gold coins. And this out of a 1945 book again, where we say that in the preceding chapters, the transactions presented have been principally cash transactions. Now, they weren't talking through their nose orifice at this time. When they're talking about cash in this book, they're still talking about cash. They're talking about gold. They're talking about silver. Well, not gold so much, but silver for sure. Again, in most businesses, however, it's customary to make sales on account. And this is the beginning of sorrows. The customer gives his implied, oral, or written promise to pay at some future time for the goods he receives. So once everybody got on this drill, we got into this idea of giving our implied, oral, or written, these are contracts, now promises to pay, promissory notes, at some future time for the goods he receives. In the retail trade, it's usual for those who buy on account to pay on the first month for all purchases made during the previous month. In other lines of businesses, payments are usually made in accordance with the terms of the sale, which are usually fixed by the custom of the trade. Now remember, custom and customary. The customary terms may be changed by an agreement between the seller and the purchaser. What's all of this customer, customary? Well, as we've said many times in the broadcast, law rises up. First, there's a tribe, and they have a tongue, and then they have certain creeds and traditions and customs. And so law comes up out of customary and from time out of mind usage of these things, and it becomes our system, not only for our language, but for all of our laws inside of that system. And you go in and start jiggling around with that. You go into this multicultural cesspool, and then no one has common tongues, tribes, creed, and tradition. Originally, we were Englishmen, mad dogs and Englishmen, coming, sailing those 3,000 miles across the sea to these colonies, as corporations setting up and peopling this area. And we all basically had similar customs, tongue, tribe, creeds, and traditions. Many, the Puritans, came here to avoid religious persecution in England, jolly old. The Jamestown bunch, those guys came with different things going on, but the Puritans were unusual in their own right. We will get into that in another broadcast. But here we are now. We find ourselves in modern banking in England. Talked about this a little bit yesterday. If you missed it, it's available for you at no charge on our archives. Just go up to becomevocallocal.com, follow the archive link, or go to the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage, look up on the archives, click on that, and then you can open up Become Vocal Local, and there you go, voila. Or you can just simply get in touch with our archivist, show.archive@gmail.com, and you can pick up 650 broadcasts in an 8.86 gigabytes, 16K resolution, a 3-DVD audio set in jewel cases, including shipping for $15 donation to Fritz of the chat room, who has kindly volunteered his time and energy to make that service available. So if you want them all, you can get them on 3-DVD sets, MP3 audios, 16K for $15 donation, which is a screaming deal. Anyway, back to English banking, modern banking. In 1853, the London Clearing House abandoned the use of bank. No, England, a bank. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. In 1853, going back now to the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, fine print here, commercial banking article written in 1930s. In 1853, the London Clearing House abandoned the use of Bank of England notes for the settlement of the daily clearing balances in favor of checks of the Bank of England. All right? And so this is the same sort of thing where we're back into promises to pay. The customer gives his implied oral or written promise to pay at some future time. Notes. And bank notes. The same. And so it says balances in favor of checks on the Bank of England. And ever since the current balances to the credit of the clearing banks at the Bank of England have been an important factor in the London money markets. That's a difficult sentence to start with. It's the way these things are written. We have to jumpstart our mind and my tongue to get into them. But this is what's going down here. There was a transfer. Things were changing in about 1853. And, you know, that's just a stone's throw in our past. It's most surprising that the note issue and active circulation showed, apart from moderate fluctuations, no increase between 1844 and 1914. No increase. Despite the immense expansion in business in economic activity of all sorts, again, it's most surprising that the note issue in active circulation showed, apart from moderate fluctuations, no increase. Why? Well, they didn't have to keep printing more notes and notes and notes, even though the notes wear out. But they don't have to go through all of that. Why? Because more and more is done on account, and more is done with checks. That's why. And that's important. Because, you know, you can start up a state bank, all right. But how are you going to deal with clearing? Clearing is always the ticket. It's the 1853 London Clearing House, abandoning the use of the Bank of England notes for the settlement of the daily clearing balances in favor of checks drawn on the Bank of England. The rigid limitation of the bank's note issue could not, in practice, always be maintained by virtue of its position as the banker's bank. Now, whenever you see that phrase used, the banker's bank, you're talking central banking, right? Every time. The banker's bank. That's the Bank of International Settlements is the central banker's bank. The obligations of the Bank of England, whether by notes or deposits, are considered as cash by the banking community. And so these notes, cash, Bank of England notes, cash, in 1930, very well could be implied in our credit transaction, Chapter 7, 1945, Accounting Principles by Noble. Cash could be bank notes, redeemable in gold or silver.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from DistributedLiving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Now, with the Oracle Broadcasting Android application, you can take Oracle with you on the go. Download the app at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Although it might feel a whole lot better, you know, to march up and down the sidewalk and carry your placards and hope for 20,000 people to join you in your expedition in Wall Street, and certainly that's making news. We make a little bit of news here. We'll just proceed forward trying to understand commercial banking. You know, it's always a good idea to have a replacement set not only in mind but well in hand before you tear something down. You know, it's so easy to bring down an outhouse. You just got to back up the pickup truck to it, throw a logging chain around an outhouse, hook it to the rear bumper, drive forward and creep below, and you can tear a outhouse down immediately. Hope you don't have to poop, because you're going to need an outhouse pretty soon, and it's going to take you many, many hours, if not days, to build a new one. But always it takes more time and energy to build a new than it does to destroy, and that's just the way it is. But back to the discussion here about commercial banking, out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, 1930s edition. But we find out that at a time of stress, the bank, we're always talking here about the Bank of England, the bank, capital B, the bank, it's like talking about God, you know, and at times of stress, the bank could keep its obligations within an arbitrary limit in the last resort, lenders of last resort, by refusing to lend on any terms. So we hear about that today, you know, TARP and TALF and all that, you know, the banker bailouts. Well, they've got millions and millions here about all the people, the big corporations sitting on the side with all their cash. And Ma and Pa can't seem to get a loan to rescue their foreclosed house. But that's what's going on here. At a time of stress, we're in a time of stress. The bank, you could call it the Bernanke, the bank could keep its obligations within an arbitrary limit. It's arbitrary, capricious, you know, pulled out of the air. In the last resort, because they are the lenders of the last resort, only by refusing to lend on any time, on any terms. Nope, no money to lend. No, I'm sorry, you don't qualify. You know, bankers, they come into the office in the morning and sit down at their desk, you know, a cup of latte, you know, and a biscotti. And they open up the drawer just a little bit, and inside, it's nothing else in there, but there's a little card in there, like a business card size. And on that card is one word, and that word is no. So the banker, you know, he's flexing, he's getting ready for a day's business. And he looks down, he goes, no, 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 you got to practice that, you know, telling people no in convincing terms, all right? And no on certain terms, you're not going to get a loan. So the answer is no. Anyway, in order to avoid such a catastrophe, the government, on three occasions in the great financial crisis of 1847, 1857, and 1866, authorized the bank to exceed its fiduciary limits. Okay? Because it prevents a deadlock or a breakdown of the credit system owing to a shortage of cash. Continuing, the government had no legal power to give such an authority, but because of the constitutional predominance in the House of Commons, it was in a position to promise that it would procure indemnifying legislation from Parliament to give retrospective sanction for any breach of the law. I mean, write that out in letters 10 feet high. Put it in neon lights. Retrospective sanctions for any breaches of law. Right? Whatever the bank does, they're going to get procure indemnifying legislation. Whatever the banks do, don't worry, you just go ahead and do it. You do it. You take those actions. And the legislature, well, a bunch of toadies that they are, they all line up in the committees and Paul Ryan and the rest of them, and they write legislation that approves whatever was done in the past. Now, that's retrospective. That's no good. But they're doing that sort of stuff these days. On only one of the three occasions, the crisis of 1857, was the limit actually exceeded and the indemnifying legislation passed. So we hear about it all the time, you know, Timmy Geithner goes over to Poland and he tells the European bankers, ECB, you better do what I tell you to do or things are going to be really ugly. And so they do it. You know, Ben Shalom goes into Congress and says, boy, you better do this or we're melting down, maybe. Green Hand, he uses the same tactic. Central bankers been doing this for a long time, making threats. And then the legislators all tumble into line. With the outbreak of war in 1914, wow, they didn't mention 1913, but anyway, we'll pass on that one. We're talking about England, not the U.S. With the outbreak of the war in 1914, the Currency and Banknotes Act was hastily passed, empowering the government to suspend the fiduciary limit temporarily and authorizing the government to issue legal tender currency notes for £1 and 10 shilling. The appearance of these notes made the whole question of the fiduciary limit one of secondary importance. Right? Nothing like a crisis. You know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Let's just go ahead and rush right in headlong to World War I, and we'll pass the Currency and Banknotes Act. The act remained operative until 1928. The currency notes being subject to no statutory regulations with regard to reserves. And see, reserves are always the question. All of the central banks, you know, and all their horror daughters, they have to maintain reserves. We found that out studying central banking, where you have to have deposits. You got, on one side, you got assets. And Shalom Bernanke was correct when he said that gold wasn't money, but it was an asset. He was right on that. It's kind of been understood as money for a long time, but nevertheless, it's an asset. That's true. Wasn't avoiding anything. On one side, you've got assets, and on the other, you have liabilities and proprietorship. All right? It's the goodwill of the name Goldman Sachs. So you've got liabilities. Well, all of your deposits are considered as liabilities. Of course, it's more complicated than that, the deeper I go into the study of accounting principles. But nevertheless, you've got liabilities, and those are all those deposits that are out there. And reserves must be maintained on the asset side in a certain ratio to the number of deposits you get. Remember the flurry of activity and excitement in the news when all at once the banks were charging exorbitant fees, trying to keep people were trying to put all their money in the bank? Man, we don't want that money. You think, my goodness, the EJPs and the EJBs have lost their freaking mind, man. They've dropped their yarmulke. But no, actually, they did want all that extra deposit money coming in because they would have had to alter their reserves. And because they don't have any assets in reserve, things would get really ugly in a hurry. So they were trying to discourage people from depositing more money in their banks rapidly or overnight because it requires an adjustment of the reserves. Where do they get the reserves? They make payments to the central bank. They pay Uncle Ben. They have to pay in a percentage of all their deposits as reserves. And then Uncle Ben is there standing by to bail out the bank. When they need more reserves, they send it back. It's quite a vicious circle. But anyway, the Currency and the Banknote Act of 1928 transferred the power of issuing notes for £1 and 10 shilling, I think that's the way you say that, from the government to the Bank of England, and contained provisions for a new reserve law for the bank's note issue, thus extended. So this is what's happening in Europe today. Talking about more and more reserve, have changed reserve ratios, right? Since notes had entirely replaced gold coin as the standard circulation of the country. Here we are, 1928. Since notes and checks had entirely replaced gold coin as a standard of circulation of the country, the bank's circulation exceeded 350 million pounds as compared with about 30,000 pounds in 30 million pounds in 1914. You take the gold out of the equation, and the bankers go hog wild. That's right. Circulation went up from 30 million pounds to 350 million pounds. Doesn't matter how many little pieces of paper we print. The fiduciary issue was fixed by the Act of 1928. We'll come back with that and find out a little bit more about commercial banking and the problems that beset us now.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream and allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
You can take a little sidebar into another delightful book here, History of the American Literature, by Reuben Post Halleck, M.A. from Yale. This published by the American Book Company in 1911. I have the original hard copy in front of me. On my radio table, why Virginia was colonized. In 1607, the first permanent English colony within the present limits of the United States was planted at Jamestown in Virginia, planting colonies. The colony was founded for commercial reasons by the London Company, an organization formed to secure profits from colonization. The London Company. I wonder if they're any relation to the city or the Bank of England. The colonists and the company that furnished their ship and outfit expected large profits from the gold mines and the precious stones which were believed to await discovery. Discovery, conquest, dominion. Of course, the adventurers were also influenced by the honor and the romantic interest which they thought would result from a successful settlement. And then it continues. The majority of the early Virginian colonists were unfit for their task. Contemporary accounts tell of the, quote, many unruly gallants packed hither by their friends to escape ill destinies, close quote. Beggars, vagabonds, indentured servants, kidnapped girls, even convicts were sent to Jamestown and became the ancestors of some of the, quote, poor white trash of the South, close quote. Curious? Wouldn't be able to write that in a book today, you know. But they did then, anyway. Continuing, after the execution of Charles I in 1649 and the setting up of the Puritan Commonwealth, many of the royalists, now that's an important term there, royalists, or cavaliers, as they were called, they were the long hairs, by the way, the long hairs, the royalists, the cavaliers, as they were called, came to Virginia to escape the obnoxious Puritan rule. Of course, the Puritans were the roundheads, and so you had the roundheads, the shaved heads, the roundheads, and the long hairs, the cavaliers. They became the ancestors, these guys that came over here now, they were the cavaliers, they were the royalists, okay, they were the Tories. They became the ancestors of presidents and statesmen and of many of the aristocratic families of the South. The ideals expressed by Captain John Smith, the leader and preserver of the Jamestown colony, are worthy to rank besides those of the colonists of New England. Looking back at his achievement in Virginia, he wrote, quote, "Then seeing, we are not born for ourselves, but each to help others, seeing honor is our life's ambition, and seeing by no means we would be abated of the dignities and glories of our predecessors, let us imitate their virtues to be worthily their successors." It's an interesting quotation, one worth studying. Perhaps we should imitate the virtues of our founders to be worthy of their successors. But anyway, continuing, why the Puritans colonized New England? So we had the Puritans and the Puritan Commonwealth and Puritan rule, etc. Obnoxious, as they say. Obnoxious Puritan rule. Why the Puritans colonized New England? During the period from 1620 to 1640, large numbers of Englishmen migrated to that part of America now known as New England. These emigrants were not impelled by hope or wealth or ease or pleasure. They were called Puritans because they wished to purify the Church of England from what seemed to them great abuses. And the purposes of these men in emigrating to America was to lay the foundation of a state built upon their religious principles. These people came for an intangible something, liberty of conscience, a fuller life of the spirit, which has never commanded a price on any stock exchange in the world. They looked beyond. These Puritans had been more than one century in the making. Now, again, this isn't some, you know, 1960s Zionist propaganda we're reading here. This is 1911. This is a history of American literature. The man that's writing this book spent many years gathering these documents, and because he transitioned, you know, from the 1800s into the 1900s, he had access to documents that you and I probably could only die for. These Puritans had been more than one century in the making. We hear of them in the time of Wycliffe, from 1324 to 1384. Their religion was a constant command to put the unseen above the seen, the eternal spirit above the temporal, to satisfy the aspirations of that spirit. James I, 1603 to 1625, told them that he would harry them out of the kingdom unless they conformed to the rites of the established church. His son and successor, Charles I, called to his aid Archbishop Laud, a bigoted official of that church. Laud hunted the dissenting clergy like wild beasts, threw them into prison, whipped them in the pillory, branded them, slit their nostrils, and mutilated their ears. And it continues. Well, it talks about the Puritan colonization of New England, and it took place in a comparatively brief space of time. During the 20 years from 1620 to 1640, until 1640, persecution drove the Puritans to New England in multitudes. But in that year, they suddenly stopped coming. Why? Quote, "During the 125 years following that date, more persons, it is supposed, went back from the new to the old England than came from the old England to the new," says Professor Tyler. The year 1640 marks the assembling of the Long Parliament, which finally brought to the block bad end is another way of saying it. Both Archbishop Laud in 1645 and King Charles I in 1649, and chose the great Puritan Oliver Cromwell to lead the Commonwealth. Well, just a little bit of a background on who our founders were and some of the other things happening at this time that brings us into the 1850s and the founding of the London Clearinghouse and this debasement here of currency as we set aside the use of honest weights and measures again, since notes had entirely replaced gold coin as the standard circulation of the country. The bank, again, the bank is the Bank of England, circulation exceeded 350 million pounds. Dropping down a bit, the profits derived from note issue were to revert to the treasury. So, you know, you wonder why the Queen, the Crown and Parliament assembled, the Crown lands, you wonder why they're so well off and well to do. We can only look back to here as a point of beginning. The extension of private banks through the establishment of branches was circumscribed by the limitation of their capital to that of not more than six partners. Interesting. But a joint stock bank with well-distributed branches enjoyed the advantages of solid credit, and clearing facilities available through its head office placed it in a position to transmit funds for its customers from London to the provinces and from one part of the country to another. So this idea of clearing is absolutely fundamental to the expansion of modern banking. And we need to account for it in whatever plan that we see in a future of greater and greater freedom and less and less tyranny and despotic control. From the very beginning of joint stock banking, time to look that up, corporations again, whether such banks were established in London or in the large provincial cities, there was therefore a marked tendency for branches of the joint stock banks to supersede the private banks. And so even if you went back to something like state banks, and then you had all of the private branches popping up here, there, and everywhere, just watch as the ticking time bomb goes on, as the joint stock banks come in and begin to establish more and more branches, and they outcompete the small independent banks. And because the joint stock banks have a clearing system set up, ultimately they create a new central bank, and we would have 50 central banks as opposed to one central bank, and the whole house of cards would be shot through, and we'd be starting all over again, repeating history. So we don't want to do that. We need a better plan. From the very beginning of joint stock banking, whether such banks were established in London or in large provincial cities, so on and so forth, they came up to this idea of having branches for the joint stock banks, which superseded the private banks. The usual process was the absorption, you can just call that amalgamation if you want, mergers and acquisitions is another modern usage. The usual process was the absorption of a private bank as a going concern and its transformation into a branch or a group of branches of the joint stock branch. You might think of it moving in with, McDonald's hamburgers, and you drive all the competitors out, you know, and you buy up all of the competitors' properties, and so you don't have independent hamburger stands anymore in town, and you get rid of the, Ed's Drive-In and stuff like that, and now all you've got left is a McDonald's. It's the way it works in business and America.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, eggs, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so once again, you know, it's always the idea is which came first, the chicken or the egg, which came first, businessmen or bankers. One hand washes the hand of the other. You go back to our study, and this is really, we're just continuing. The reason why we took the sidebar into banking, commercial banking, was because when Henry St. Simon and the St. Simonians and August Comte later, and the positivists all got together, they visualized this future that we live in today. Where the captains of finance and industry will rule the world through their appointed dictator. And remember, that's the captains of finance and industry. That'd be your Lloyd Blankfein, Cohen, Jamie Dimon, Jeffrey Immelt, and all the rest of the horde, you know? The captains of finance and industry, captains of finance and industry, rule the world through their appointed dictator, whether that be Barry the Usurper, whomever, the Shrub, Jorge the Bush, whomever, makes little or no difference. And then in this time period, the bank would become the temple. You'll worship mammon. You'll be on your knees before it. Yeah, they do. Wow. The traders just walk free. They can do no harm. They're above the law, right? And that woman would become the goddess. And you can see how that's working now. We want stronger women in business. That's right. And in media. And so they're starting to go to the gym more often now and building up their triceps so they can... And they're deltoids so that they don't have to wear padded blouses any longer. They get their pecs nice and firm and up high riding as they do. Anyway, when in 1862 the Companies Act was passed, facilitating the establishment of joint stock banks, you see how it works? The captains of finance and industry running the governments as well. They passed these acts, just like the Interstate Commerce Commission, the Uniform Commercial Code. They have to have the lawyers, the Temple Bar, involved in it as well. That's why we had the creation of the American Bankers Association, virtually followed immediately and within 100 miles of distance, the creation of the American Bar Association, then the Uniform Commission on Laws, You see how it goes. Party A and Party B, established two-party political system, enshrined in law, established in law, the election laws of your state, created by the two parties, for the two parties, to continue the spirit of division, the left-right divide. Conservative, liberal, liberal, conservative. If there's any such thing as that. Again, toward the end of the 19th century, the process of amalgamation extended also to the smaller joint stock banks. So far as this has proceeded, that at the present, the number of joint stock banks carrying on business mainly in England is only 16, and 5/6 of the business is in the hand of five big banks. And so you've got RBS, you've got HSBC, you've got the Bank of England. But even more importantly than that, you know, we've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average, Euronext, yeah, joining up with the Deutsche Börse or Deutsche AG or something like that, creating this new Börse. It's all consolidation. Consolidation is moving towards one big global monopoly. And 5/6 of the banks in the 1800s here, 5/6 of the business is in the hands of five big banks in England. In the private banking era, trade in England was financed largely by bills of exchange drawn by sellers of goods upon buyers. Again, the bankers don't do anything by themselves. They're wicked and evil users as they are, EGPs and EGBs, EJBs. But they, in and of themselves, are not the horrible evil they're painted out to be. They're facilitators. They're middlemen. They work with the business. Lex mercatoria, the law merchant. All right? It takes two to tango here. You got to have some action going on if you need any money. And if there ain't no action going on, everybody goes home. But in the private banking era, trade in England, again, was financed largely by bills of exchange drawn by sellers of goods upon buyers. Since London was the great center of commercial business, both domestic and foreign, and the greatest commercial houses had their head offices or at any rate responsible agencies there, the country banks were constantly receiving bills drawn on London by their customers in the ordinary course of business, and were at the same time called upon to use the funds they thus acquired in London in order to provide remittances. These articles are just loaded with stuff you can look up. Look up remittances. Find out about that. The country banks needed a constant correspondent in London and would of necessity keep their reserves there. That's where they kept all their gold, their silver, all their reserves. Quite naturally, there developed in London early in the 19th century a market in bills of exchange. Brokers who had made a special study of the credit standing of the names appearing on bills as drawers, acceptors, and endorsers would undertake to find buyers for any bills held by a banker in excess of requirements or to obtain bills for one who had superfluous funds to invest. Now, what did we just find out there? It's the brokers who made a special study of the credit standing. Have you gotten your credit report lately? Brokers who made a special study of the credit standing of the names appearing on bills as drawers, acceptors, or endorsers. Can you imagine the computers scanning the front and the back of all checks, linking and interlinking dependencies and interdependencies, putting it in the mammoth databases someplace? Who does business with whom? How much money do they do business with? And what frequency do they do that with? On what date of each month do they do business with one another? When did they begin doing business with one another? When was the last transaction? What was the highest amount of their transaction? What was the least? And then, with this information in their hands, they would then undertake to find buyers for any bills held by a banker in excess of the requirements. In other words, they have more reserves, I guess, than they need. And so they want to go like our caller Russell from Minnesota. They want to find somebody that wants to buy some of this paper. and a whole new market creates. The market, in thus sorting out the available supply of bills and of money among the banks, became a sensitive index of the cash position of the banking community. Privacy crisis? I'll say. Now, for the first time in all of these articles, this appears. If the city, capital C, city, if the city, we've been talking about London, now we're talking about if the city, capital C, nothing else along with it, just absolute by itself, if the city was short of cash, the bill brokers would become aware of a supply of bills exceeding the demand. If cash was redundant, the demand for bills would exceed the supply. The Bank of England, see, the city is separate from the Bank of England. The Bank of England, which since the second half of the 18th century had begun to acquire the functions of a central bank, would make good a shortage of cash in the city by lending. A shortage of cash in the city by lending. The city gets its shortages of cash replenished by the Bank of England. At first, it lent directly to the merchants. But when the discount market came into being, the responsibility for borrowing from the bank devolved upon the bill brokers, who had the most immediate evidence of the position of the market. They grew up a rediscounting system, and the peculiarity that the rediscounts were obtained from the central bank, not by other banks, but by the bill brokers. Fascinating stuff. As the plot thickens, and the Fed, on half of them that would make that challenge, have likely never studied commercial banking, but we do here. As bill brokers became responsible for the rediscounting business, they ceased to be mere brokers or intermediaries. Their existence, or the existence of an active and liquid discount market, enabled the banks to cut down their actual holdings of money to the bare minimum required for till money and clearing operations, and to lend the bill brokers at short notice, sometimes a week, but usually from day to day, that's your London Interbank Overnight Rate, perhaps, any balance that could be spared. This is where accounting and accounting principles come into play. This is where TurboTax Timmy, you know, electronic banking and all of that come into play. This is where this nanosecond front running comes into play. The exchange-traded funds, the exchange-traded products. This is such a huge thing. Casting it aside is not only going to not be easy, but we're going to need a much better solution than those that have been offered so far. Folks, we're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm.
Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at OracleBroadcasting.com.